The scripture says when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. I know today I am looking at flourishing people. As you go out the doors today, just under your breath, Lord, I think I'm going to flourish this week. That's a great promise to stand on. And just, you know, flourish means you're going to have great ideas. God's going to protect you. God's going to give you wisdom. He's going to watch over your family. So, you know, just flourishing means bountiful. Anyway, that's all I got, y'all. Anyway, that's what it means. So I'm looking at flourishing people. Thanks for being here. Next weekend, Joyce Meyer right here at Lakewood. Joyce comes twice a year for us, and just what an amazing lady she is. So come on now. We'll always have something good for you here at Lakewood. But anyway, I like to start with something funny. I heard about these three aspiring psychiatrists, William, Julie, and Bubba. They were taking their first test on emotional extremes, and the professor asked William, what is the opposite of sadness? He replied, happiness. The professor asked Julie, what is the opposite of depression? She replied, joy. The professor asked Bubba, what is the opposite of woe? W-O-E. Bubba looked kind of puzzled. After a long pause, he replied, giddy up. Say it like you mean it. I liked it anyway. Here we go. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about gladly welcomed. We have two small dogs at home, and they're Shih Tzus. They're very friendly and playful, and every time they hear the garage door go up, someone returns home, they run to the back door and wait. When we open the door, they jump up on us, so excited. Their tail is wagging back and forth. It's like they hadn't seen us in 2 months. We've been gone 30 minutes. I know they're just dogs, but it still warms your heart to know that they're so glad to see you. Paul said in Ephesians, because of our faith in Christ, we can come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of His glad welcome. Not many of us have the audacity to think that God would be that happy to see us. I mean, He's the creator of the universe. He has bigger things to deal with. He's not concerned about me. No, you are God's biggest deal. You are His most valuable possession. He made you in His own image. There's nothing more important to God than you. It says in Isaiah, He has your picture tattooed on the palm of His hand. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. If you will have the right image of God, knowing that He gladly welcomes you, His face lights up when He sees you, He loves spending time with you, hearing your concerns, knowing what you're dreaming about, then you won't shrink back in fear, intimidated, unworthy. You'll go fearlessly to Him. All through the day, you'll talk to Him. He'll become your best friend. But so many people have the wrong image of God. They see Him as being harsh, like He's got a ball bat, waiting for them to make a mistake, to knock them down further. Don't come to me, man. You've done wrong. You haven't measured up. You knew better. But God is not basing His glad welcome on your performance. It's not based on how perfect you've lived. It's based on the fact that you're His child. Because of your faith in Christ, not because of your good works, not because you perform perfectly, it's because of who you belong to. Ephesians 1 says, long before God made the world, He chose you to be in Him without fault. You may have made mistakes. You got off course, done things you're not proud of. We let the accuser heap up all that baggage, remind us of how unworthy we are, how we don't deserve God's goodness. Look at what you've done. You should be ashamed of yourself. You knew better. You know how God sees you? Without fault. How could this be? He's already paid the price for your sins, your mistakes, your failures. He sees you without fault, but that won't do you any good if you don't see yourself without fault. If you're down on yourself, living guilty, condemned, even though God will gladly welcome you, even though he's longing to be good to you, you won't see that goodness because you don't come fearlessly into his presence. This all started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the forbidden tree. Up to then, they were happy, confident, secure. They knew God loved them. They went boldly into his presence, walked and talked with God. They received his glad welcome. But when they disobeyed, the condemnation came. The accusing voice, that brought fear, intimidation. The first thing they did was run and hide. They had to get out of God's presence. They knew they wouldn't be gladly welcomed anymore. God came and said, Adam, where are you? Wasn't so much about his location, it was about his frame of mind. In the Old Testament, they had to make sacrifices to cover their sins, but we're under a better covenant. The price has already been paid. It says in Revelation, God has washed away our sins, past tense. He's already forgiven you. You may have made mistakes. You're not where you wanted to be. You don't feel worthy, like you deserve God's goodness. Now, like Adam, you're hiding. God is saying, where are you? I long to be with you. I have mercy for your mistakes. I have forgiveness for your wrongs. What you've done did not stop his glad welcome. The scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Notice, to get the mercy, you have to go boldly. But you won't go boldly if you think God is mad at you. You made too many mistakes. Man, you lost your temper. You ran with the wrong crowd. You ruined your marriage. Mercy is available. New beginnings are available, but it's not going to happen if you stay down on yourself, feeling unworthy. I don't deserve to be blessed, Joel. Get rid of that defeated mentality. God sees you without fault. He's not holding your mistakes against you. When you come to him, he won't say, it's about time. I'm disappointed. What's wrong with you? He will gladly welcome you. Maybe like Adam, you're hiding, thinking you can't go to God. Every voice says, look at your failures. Look at your weaknesses. You don't deserve it. If you only knew that God is standing before you right now with open arms. He's not going to just welcome you. He's going to gladly welcome you. Why don't you come out of hiding? Come out of unworthiness. Come out of condemnation and receive the glad welcome. God, I know I'm not worthy, but Father, I want to thank you that you have made me worthy. Lord, I have plenty of faults, but I want to thank you that you see me with no faults. How do you see God? As someone that will gladly welcome you, that's looking forward to seeing you, that won't judge you? Or do you see him as someone that's hard, condemning, holding your mistakes against you? Your perception of God will have a great impact on whether or not you become all you were created to be. And sometimes religion distorts the image of God. It can show God as being harsh and mean, where you can't measure up. It uses guilt, making you feel unworthy to try to get you to live right. But condemnation doesn't make you do better. The scripture says it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. When you understand that God loves you unconditionally, not if you perform perfectly, but even when you make mistakes, he has mercy, that he sees you without fault, that he gladly welcomes you, that there's nothing more valuable, nothing more important to him than you, then you'll put your shoulders back. You'll hold your head up high and step up to who you were created to be. Luke chapter 15, a young man asked his father for his inheritance early. His father agreed and gave him the money. The son left home, went out and lived a wild life, partied all the time, wasted his inheritance, making poor choices. The money finally ran out. The young man had nothing to eat, nowhere to go. He found a job on a farm taking care of hogs. He was so desperate, he had to eat the hog food to survive. He was very down on himself, ashamed, embarrassed. He had no one to blame except himself. As he was sitting in the hog pen, dirty, smelly, not knowing what he was going to do next, he began to think about his father. He said, even the servants at my father's house live better than I do. They have a nice place to stay. They have three meals a day. They get paid well. He thought about how good his father was, how he was even kind to the staff. He remembered how he was loving, generous, merciful, compassionate. As he contemplated who his father was, something rose up on the inside, a boldness, a confidence. He said, you know what? I'm going to arise and go to my father. He didn't say, I'm going to go back home. He didn't say, I'm going to go back to my family's house. He said, I'm going to my father. He knew everyone may not accept him. There would be judgment from people. Maybe friends would look down on him. Maybe a sibling would say hurtful things, but he knew his father was the key. As he made that journey back home, I can hear thoughts telling him, this is not a good idea. Your father is not going to receive you. Look at what you've done. Look at how dirty you are. You better turn around. The whole time he kept dismissing it, saying, no, I remember who my father is. If he had the image of his father being harsh, mean, judgmental, he would have never come home. How you see your heavenly father will determine whether you run away from him or whether you run to him. Maybe you're staying away because you have the wrong image of God. You're letting those lies play, saying God won't receive you. You've blown it too many times. You should live guilty and condemned. Oh, if you only knew that if you knew who your heavenly father really is, like this young man, you would arise and go to your father. When he got close to him, this big moment finally came. His heart was beating fast. He's trying to believe for the best, but fear and unworthiness playing louder than ever. I can imagine he wants to turn around, just forget it. This wasn't a good idea. Right then, he looks way off in the distance and sees someone running toward him. He thinks, who could this be? Is there a problem, an emergency? Is someone in trouble? They get closer and he realizes it's his father. He naturally thinks he's coming out here to condemn me, to try to keep me off the property. But when the father gets to his son, he grabs him and hugs him with all of his might. Won't let go. Remember, the son is dirty. He has hog feed, manure, mud all over him. He hasn't showered in days. He smells badly, but it doesn't stop this father. He doesn't pay any attention. Our God will get dirty to rescue you. He's a God that comes to messy places. The dirt on your life, the mess you've made, will never keep God from coming to you. Nothing you've done is too much for the mercy of God. This father told his assistant, go get the best robe and put it on my son. Go get new shoes and put it on his feet. And go get the family ring and put it on his finger. This means all of his authority as a son was restored. He went on to say, go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. God knows how to gladly welcome you. Would have been nice if the father would have just forgiven him. Let him come back home, not make a big deal about it. But notice how God doesn't just take you back. He restores you. He gives you back what you lost. And this can be hard for us to fathom that God will be good to us even though we've done wrong. He'll have a party when I return, not because I did something great, not because I accomplished a goal, but I blew it. I made these poor choices. This is the goodness of our God. Maybe like this young man, you wouldn't think God would have anything to do with you. You've gotten off course. You've made mistakes. When the truth is, God has a robe of honor waiting for you. It's not in the hog pen, it's with your father. He has a ring of authority. He wants to not just receive you back, but to restore what's been taken. Restore your honor. Restore your reputation. Restore your joy. You're condemning yourself when he has a fatted calf out in the field with your name on it. Don't believe those lies that you'll never really be happy. Never be fulfilled. If you'd only made better choices, it's time to arise and go to your father. When you do this, the scripture says you can be assured of his glad welcome. Not maybe, not if he's in a good mood, not if you've never had this problem before. No, you can be sure he'll be there with open arms. He's waiting to celebrate your arrival. We feel the guilt, the condemnation, but God sees our failures already covered. Now we have to receive the forgiveness, receive the mercy, and see ourselves without fault. This goes against our natural reasoning. Because everything in us says, man, you're just a poor old sinner. You're just unworthy. The truth is, you used to be an old sinner, but when you gave your life to Christ, you became a son, a daughter of the Most High God. He has made you worthy. You are the righteousness of God. It's not your own righteousness, it's His righteousness. Don't live with a weak worm of the dust mentality. I don't deserve God's goodness. Like that prodigal, I brought this trouble on myself. The scripture says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You didn't supersede your allotment of grace. You didn't make a mistake so big that God ran out of mercy. Instead of living condemned, why don't you go boldly to the throne to receive that mercy? God is waiting to gladly welcome you. Here's the key. He won't force you to come. He didn't make the prodigal come back home. It was the young man's choice. When you take one step toward God, He comes running toward you. Only place in the Bible where it pictures God running was to this young man that had gotten off course. God could have come running to heal the lepers, running to teach in the temple, running to the religious leaders. Instead, He came running to someone that had made mistakes. My little dogs I told you about, when I get home this afternoon, I have no doubt they're going to be happy to see me. I am fully convinced they will be there with their tails wagging, jumping up on me. What would happen if we believed that God will always gladly welcome us? How much better would we live? How much more free, more secure, at peace, if we were confident that God is for us, that He sees us without faults, that even when we make mistakes, He's waiting with arms held open wide, ready to restore us, get us back on track. The enemy has worked overtime to try to convince people that God is out to get us. He's mad at you. He's counting your mistakes. He's about to knock you down further. That is not our God. Don't let the wrong image of God keep you from coming to Him. The scripture says the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. I believe one meaning of this is when you know the character of our God, when you know He's for you, when you know He gladly welcomes you, when you know He sees you without fault, when you know He comes running, when you make mistakes, then you're going to be strong and you're going to do great things. Well, Joel, when we make mistakes, I think we should do better. Well, yes, I agree, but you're not a finished product. God is still working on you. While He's changing you, while you're growing, you have to learn to accept yourself, not beat yourself up when you don't perform perfectly. What you struggle with, the mistakes you made, are not a surprise to God. He's the one that made you. You're on the potter's wheel. He's continuing to mold you. Stay positive toward yourself. Give yourself grace. You can't change in your own strength. You keep honoring God, and in His timing, He'll help you to change. Think about Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. They were known for being dishonest, cheating people, not having any integrity. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. He was despised. The people in the scripture described him as scum. It's pretty bad when the scripture calls you scum. Jesus came passing through the town. Zacchaeus was up in that tree trying to get a glimpse of him. Out of all the people there, Jesus stopped, looked up, and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house and have dinner." This didn't make sense to the religious leaders. They complained, "Why is he going to dinner with a notorious sinner?" Religion says, "You're too bad. You've made too many mistakes. Stay away." But God says, "I will gladly welcome you. I'm coming to your house for dinner." Jesus could have gone to the mayor's house, could have gone to the high priest's house, could have gone to the governor's house. This shows us how God doesn't judge the way people judge. If God gladly welcomes Zacchaeus, why do you think He's not going to gladly welcome you? "Well, Joel, I've made some mistakes. I still struggle with my temper. I gave into that temptation." That didn't cancel out His mercy. Run to God, not away from Him. Don't do like Adam and start hiding. You can be open and honest with God. He's not going to judge you. It's very powerful when you admit your dependence on Him. God, I'm struggling in this area. I can't overcome on my own. I need your help. That's when you'll feel a strength, a power to do what you can't do on your own. Zacchaeus went to dinner with Jesus, but he didn't leave the same way. He said, I'm going to give half my income to the poor. And those I have overcharged, I'm going to give four times the amount back. Jesus said, this day salvation has come to your home. Sometimes we think if we berate people, tell them all they're doing wrong, make them feel guilty, then they'll change. But most people already know what they're doing wrong. When they hear about a God who gladly welcomes, a God that doesn't hold their faults against them, a God that shows mercy when they deserve judgment, then they'll change. Make sure you have the right image of God. He's for you. He has a great plan for your life. He's not focused on all your failures. He has mercy for every mistake. He's waiting to gladly welcome you. All you have to do is take that step toward Him. No more hiding. No more living condemned. No more feeling unworthy. Go to God with boldness and receive this mercy. It says, come boldly to the throne. That means you won't receive it if you go around thinking, I don't deserve it. I'm unworthy. I'm like Zacchaeus. I made a lot of mistakes, done things I'm not proud of. God is calling your name today, saying, come down out of that tree. Come out of hiding. I want to come to your house. I want to gladly welcome you. Will you receive the mercy? Will you shake off the guilt, the condemnation, the past, put your shoulders back and see yourself the way God sees you, without fault, worthy, righteous? Many times we get our image from God from our natural father. If your father was loving and kind, it'll help you to have the right perception of God. But I know people, their father was harsh, condescending, wasn't around. They couldn't count on him. Don't let that negative image distort who our heavenly father is. God is merciful. He's loving. He's forgiving. Victoria has a great father. He's always been good to us. When Jonathan was born, he used to come to our house and spend the night. He would take care of the baby so we could sleep. Victoria is very close to her dad. When she was in her teens, she had just gotten her driver's permit. And she asked her father if she could borrow the car and go to a friend's house in the neighborhood. He was a little hesitant at first, but he finally agreed and said, yes, you can go as long as you go straight there and come straight back home. She said, yes, sir, I'll do exactly that. Well, Victoria is not quite as holy as I am. She did go straight to her friend's house, but then she picked her up and said, let's get on the freeway and go see some other friends. The problem is she didn't put the car in drive. She put it in low one. That gear is used for climbing hills. She was going down the freeway, barely moving, with the engine sounding like a jet airplane. The car started smoking. 10 minutes later, the engine blew up. The car wouldn't move. Pulled over to the side of the freeway. The last thing most people would do would be go call your father. He's the one that just told you to not get on the freeway, not Victoria. Like this prodigal, she said, I will arise and go to my father. She called, Dad, I made a mistake. Took the car out on the freeway. Something happened and it's not running anymore. If her father was hard, mean, always berating her, she wouldn't have run to him. She would have run from him. The reason she was bold enough to go to her father was she knew his nature. She had seen his character through the years, loving, kind, merciful. When you have the right image of God, even when you make mistakes, you'll go to him. Like Victoria, you're assured of his glad welcome. Her father came, had the car towed. Do you know he never said a word to her about it? Sometimes God will clean up a mess we made and never say a word. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't find fault. I told you so. It's the mercy of God. That's what happened with the prodigal son. When the son returned home, the father, who represents God, never brought up his past. He never said, I'll take you back, but you should be ashamed. I hope you learned your lesson. The Father never said a word about it. Sometimes we don't go to God because we already feel condemned. We already know what we've done wrong. Think, oh man, here comes more judgment. He's going to let me have it. No, God is waiting to gladly welcome you, not to judge you, not to make you feel worse, but to restore you. He has a robe of honor. He has a ring of authority. When you really know who your heavenly Father is, you'll go to Him with confidence, knowing that He accepts you, faults and all, that He has mercy for your mistakes, that He's not in the judging business, He's in the restoring business. When our son Jonathan was a little boy, maybe 5 years old, one afternoon I couldn't find him in the house. I went looking for him everywhere. Thought maybe he's upstairs in his room by himself. He wasn't there. Went to Alexandra's room, nothing. Wasn't in the playroom. Started to get a little concerned. I had my weights out in the garage, and he would come out when I was working out. I went out in the garage, still couldn't find him. Looked in my office, in the bathroom. He was nowhere. I finally went back to check my bedroom, and when I got there, I noticed the door was closed. I opened it, and there was Jonathan sitting in my favorite chair, this big green recliner. The chair was laid back. His feet were up in the air. He was eating a popsicle, watching TV. He looked at me with a big smile and said, "Daddy, this is the life." As a father, that made me feel good. I loved the fact that he felt so loved, so valuable, so important that he could come and get in my favorite chair. He knew I would gladly welcome him. If you want to make your heavenly Father proud, get up in the green chair. Come boldly to the throne. Believe that you're loved, that you're valuable, that you're worthy. Don't let a wrong image of God keep you from the blessings, the joy, the favor that belongs to you. God sees you without fault. He's already forgiven your sins. You can come fearlessly into His presence, assured of His glad welcome. If you'll do this, I believe and declare strongholds of guilt, condemnation, unworthiness are being broken right now. Because you know your God, you're going to be strong and do great things. Favor is coming, healing, restoration, promotion, new levels of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen today? Amen. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, if you can stick with me, we'll wrap it up in prayer. But Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground. Faithful people here at Lakewood and all of our family watching and listening. Lord, we're going out of here today, Lord, knowing a little bit more about who you are, that you're a God that gladly welcomes. Lord, I do thank you that you receive us back when we don't deserve it. Help us to make good decisions. Help us to obey. And Lord, when we get off course, I want to just thank you in advance for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you are for us, that you're breathing in our direction. Lord, that you're changing us little by little, that we're on the potter's wheel. Lord, we're not going to live guilty, condemned. We're letting go of all the old. Lord, we believe who you are, a good God, a loving God, the God who gladly welcomes. With our heads bowed in prayer, if your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you died a little while from now? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. And I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but kind of like that prodigal, you've grown cold toward God, you got off course, and you know you need to recommit your life. You need that fresh new start. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. The good news, you heard it today. God's not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy in your thoughts will tell you, hey, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everybody. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to return home, you need to rededicate, recommit your life. You need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold? Take that step of faith and stand right where you are. We'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over. Come on, don't put it off. Feel like there ought to be a few more. Come on, there's still time for you. Anybody else? Up top, watching, listening, anybody else? Just slip your hand up or take a stand if you're here. Anybody else? Come on, there's still time for you. You can start the new year off right. Anybody else? God bless you. Please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. It's going to be a new beginning in your life. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Would you all pray this, everyone that's listening? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to stand in one more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. Also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers to give us the next year of your life. You heard Brandon talk about it. It's just a challenge. The next year, make it a priority. You're going to be here every time you can, whether you're in person, you're watching, you're listening. I'll make a promise. Before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become all God's created you to be. You can take our New Beginnings class. It's online and after the 11 o'clock service as well. A lot of areas we can help you with. After this service, in person, there's a marriage class, a women's class, some other things in that other building over there. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, January 30th, 2022, a new day of victory in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, let me speak a blessing over you. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.